We want to take this opportunity to welcome those that are visiting in our audience. We want you to know that we're happy that you're here, and we hope that you're here to open up the pages of God's Word and come to an understanding of what the Scripture teaches. And we pray that you'll listen intently. If you have any questions concerning the things that you hear this morning, I'd be more than happy to entertain those things and to give you a thus saith the Lord. Also, if you have any questions concerning things that you've seen or heard this morning, we're more than happy to give you a biblical reason for the things that we practice and do and believe. We believe that unless we're here to worship God in spirit and truth, then it has been a waste of our time to be here. We need to be here for the purpose of honoring Him, giving Him the praise, honor, and glory, and to demonstrate our love for Him for all that He has done for us. We are getting ready to celebrate a new year, Lord willing. The world lasts for another few days, 11 days, I believe, or 12. We'll usher in a new year. The new year brings new challenges, and a new year also is a time of reflection. This morning and this evening, I want to talk about something that we don't preach about very often. It's something we shy away from. It's something that preachers feel a little bit on edge to preach about, because people think there's another motive in why he preaches about this. Well, I want you to know that I think this is a subject that we need to give some consideration to as we look at how we live our lives here upon this earth. The lesson that I'm going to preach this morning and this evening is really directed to every member of this church. It is a lesson that is for Christians. It is for one about our responsibility and our duty to God. And I want you to give careful consideration to the things that we say. And if you have any questions about the conclusions that I will draw from the scriptures that we will use, I'll be more than happy to talk to you about it. Our subject for this morning is Christian giving, a duty, a privilege, and an act of worship. It is something that we don't talk about very often. Whenever this subject is brought up, some believe the preacher is preaching for a raise. I'm not preaching for a raise. This is not a subject that I'm preaching because I have any questions about something personally that I know or don't know. This is a lesson that I want us to understand our responsibility and our duty in giving. And what does the Bible say about this subject? And you'll be surprised that the Bible says a great deal about it. Now, again, one of the things that we fail and we often do not comprehend is to understand the why behind what God has given for us to do. I want to begin this lesson by telling you one thing, that the work of the Lord's church is the responsibility of every member of the body of Christ. The Lord never intended, never designed, never commanded that the world would funnel his work. His work is his people's work. And that work cannot be done unless his people take a part in making sure there are things available for that work to be completed. And so I want to begin this morning by looking at a biblical example of what I'm talking about. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And we want to look, first of all, at one verse, but we're going to be referring back to this account at various times. But we want to look at verse number 41. Mark chapter 12 and verse number 41. The text says, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put in money into the treasury." Now I want you to think about this verse for a moment. And there's some things that Jesus saw. And first of all, Jesus saw how people gave. Number two, he noticed who gave. And number three, he noticed the sacrifice that was made or was not made. And number four, what does he see when you give? I want you to understand this point. I'm not a monitor, nor is there any man or in this church or a committee that is a monitor about how much somebody gives. But I want you to understand that what you put in and what you give to the Lord, He recognizes it. And he knows the motive behind you giving it. He understands if it's a sacrifice or not. And he understands what you give and if you give according to his word. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk about many good people fail to give to the Lord as they should. This is not my conclusion. I think evidence is abounding everywhere that people do not give as they should. Now, first the thing that we need to understand is as stewards of our possessions, it is incumbent upon us to use those things wisely. We need to understand that everything I have, and I mean everything, is because of the love of God and His blessings in my life. There is not one possession that I own. There is not one thing that I possess that does not belong to the God of heaven. It is His because He blessed me with it. Therefore, as His servant, I must be a good steward of those blessings. We also understand the manner, the amount, the quality of what we return to the Lord manifests. Now, I want you to understand what this means. It manifests our love, our respect, our honor, as well as the importance of His work. The amount, the things that I give to the Lord, whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's my effort, all of them are a manifestation of how much I love Him, how much I respect Him, and how much I honor and respect His work. And if you think that it's not, then you do not understand the biblical principles that are at stake. Everything that you and I do in service to God is a manifestation of the love that we have for God. And He recognizes this as an expression of love that we give to God in what He has blessed us with. I would ask you to take your Bibles on and turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. Notice what the wise man Solomon wrote. Honor him with your possessions. How many of them? Some of them? Those that I really don't want anymore? Those that I wish to give him? Or does the passage say, honor him with your possessions? And then turn over to Malachi, and we'll be looking at this later on in a little bit more detail. But in Malachi chapter 1 and verse number 6, listen to what the Lord said to His people under the old law. He said, a son honors his father, a servant his master. And then if I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am the master, where is my reverence? To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Now, He is our master. And we are His servants. And we are to give Him honor. And we are to give Him respect. How do we demonstrate that? How do I demonstrate my love and my respect for God and the honor that I want to give Him? Now, I want you to go back for just a moment to where we began our text. Go back to Mark chapter 12. And let's read for the next few minutes, the next couple of verses in this account, in verses 41 through 43. It says, now Jesus, as we read earlier, sat opposite the treasury and saw the people put into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which makes a quadrant. So he called his disciples and said to himself, and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all who have given to the treasury, her whole livelihood. For they put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty, but in all she had, her whole livelihood. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus noticed the manner of our giving. He noticed the manner. Now, this passage has been abused by many people in the Lord's church and also by those in the denominational world. They take this passage to show that the amount is not something that God takes notice of. That's a lie. That's not what this passage said. You see, they take this passage, see, the amount doesn't matter. Whether it's large or whether it's small, God doesn't really care. No, that's not the principle. If you notice, he said the rich gave out of their abundance. They gave more, but they had the ability to give more. And those, the poor widow who had little, she gave too much. She didn't give very much in the amount of money that she gave, but she gave out of her poverty. You see, one was a sacrifice, one was not. Now, brethren, that's a principle. Part of giving is sacrifice. If there is no sacrifice, it's not giving in the biblical sense. It has to be a sacrifice. It has to be something that costs us something. It has to be something that we've determined to give back to God. It's not something that we don't give any thought to, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But it's something that demonstrates the love that we have for God, the respect that we have for God, and how we honor Him and how we honor His Word. But Jesus knows the manner of our giving. And when we give in just a few moments, and we lay by in store, God takes note of what we give, how we give it, and why we give it. And it's not up to me to judge. It's not up to any man in this room to judge. That's something that God will judge between you and Him. But you understand this, that if you have much, God expects much. And all of us have the same responsibility to give in a way that it costs us something. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Now, how do I know that? Well, I know that because of the principles that I can read in the New Testament. Please take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to spend a few moments in talking about how we give. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and in verse number 3, Paul instructed the Corinthians on how they were to give. This is Paul's instruction to the church at Corinth. And he was instructing them in the manner of which how they gave. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing." Now, this says according to the ability. Now, what does that mean? According to the ability. Do all of us have the same ability? The answer to that's no. We all differ in our ability. Now, how we differ in our ability because we are all in different places in life. A person that is single and just has himself and does not have a family is in a different position than a man that has a family. God understands that. And we have responsibility to do for our family because the Bible says if we don't take care of our own, we're worse than an infidel, 1 Timothy 5 verse 8. And so all of us don't have the same ability. But brethren, we better make sure that our offering equals our ability. Are we giving according to our ability? The ability that we have to give. God knows the answer to that. And if you be honest with yourself, you know the answer to that too. Now, look also at verse 12. There's another principle. We give according to our ability. But in verse 12 it says, "For the Lord is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not what according to one does not have." Notice, it's a willingly. What does that mean, willingly? That means you want to. My brother and sister, if you're here, and the money that you plan to give in a few moments is something that you think you would better spend doing something else, don't put it in the plate. Keep it in your pocket. Because it's not doing you a whit of good. If you don't give because you want to give, not because you have to give, but because you want to give. Now, I can't judge that, can I? I don't know if you want to give or not, but I can tell you the God of heaven knows that. The God of heaven knows if I'm giving willingly, if I'm giving out of my expression of my love, if I'm giving it because I want to give back to God what He has given me. And you notice it says, according to what one has. God does not expect me to give $1 million. I don't have $1 million. God does not expect me to give what I do not have. But God does expect me to give what I have the ability to do, what I, according to my ability, and He expects me to give it willingly. But I'm doing it out of my own desire. Not because this is what we do at every part of our service. When we pass the plate, we don't put something in because that's a habit. We do it because we want to do it. Now again, brethren, understand this. God is the only one that judges that. It's not my responsibility to judge whether you're giving according to your ability. It's not up to me to know if you're giving willingly. It's really nothing that I can judge. That's something that comes from the inner man, the heart of man. God is the only one that can judge that. So are we giving to our ability, and are we giving willingly? Next, look at chapter 9 and verse number 2. Same book, 2 Corinthians, look at chapter 9 and verse number 2. For I know your willingness, about which I boast to you to the Macedonians, to Achaia, and was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Is your giving done with zeal? Is it done zealously? Well, what's that mean? That I can't wait to do it. That I'm glad to do it. That I want to do, and I want to do as much as I can. And I do it with zeal. I do it with fervency. I do it because I love God, because I love what God has done for me. I love what God has given me. Brethren, understand this. We live in the most prosperous country in the world. We are number one. We have been blessed abundantly, more than many other people in many other places. And brethren, this comes back to what I said before. If we have much, God expects much. Do we give the way that God has given us? Do we? Do we give zealously? Next, turn to chapter 9 and verse number 5. Chapter 9 and verse number 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare for your generous gift beforehand, which you have previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and most, and not as grudging obligation. The Bible says that we should give generously. What does that mean, generously? That means over and above. That's what that means. Over and above. Would God look at my contribution as being generous? Well, that goes back according to my ability. That goes back according to my willingness. That goes back to according to whether I do it with zeal. That all goes back to the previous point. You see, I give generously. If I give with generously, are you ever going to give God too much? You think you may give too much? If you think you could give too much, you come talk to me. I don't think any of us could ever give too much. That's not the problem. The problem is never giving too much. But the Bible says we need to be generous. Let me ask you an honest question. Who do you have more right to be generous with than God? Who would I owe more generosity to than God? God's the one that makes all things possible. God's the one that makes all things profitable and all the blessings in my life, who else would I be better in a better position to be generous with than God? Next, look at chapter number 9 and verse number 6. Chapter 9 and verse number 6. For this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, it says that he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. You see, there's a parallel to what I'm going to be blessed is how I'm going to give. If I give bountifully, then I'm going to reap bountifully. You remember a principle that's told us in Galatians chapter 6? As a man soweth, that will he also reap. See, that's a divine principle. You sow as you reap. You sow of the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. You sow of the Spirit, you're going to reap of the Spirit. You see, in the same way in giving. If I give bountifully, then I'm going to reap bountifully. And if I give sparingly, that means not as much as bountifully, then I'm going to reap the same way. That's a divine principle. That's a divine principle. But here's the key. Turn to chapter 9 and verse 7. Here's the key to understand all of this. In chapter 9 and verse number 7. So let each one give as he purposed in his heart. Now what does it mean to purpose in heart? What does that mean? That means something that is planned. It does not mean that I reach into my pocket and I get out my wallet and I get out whatever I have left over and I give that to the Lord. That's not purpose. That's not planned. And that doesn't come from the heart. Giving is something that you plan. It's something that is purposed. Now I'm just going to use myself as an example, because I know me, I don't know you. I get paid, when I was in the military, we got paid every 2 weeks. And as a gospel preacher, I get paid weekly. But you know what? I do my bills twice a month. And the first check, the first thing I take out of my check, the first thing is my obligation to God, is my contribution. It comes out first. It is the first thing that comes out. And you know what? It's like a bill. And I've always treated it like a bill. Now, I may run out of money. I may not have enough to pay my bill. But if I got to cut something, that is one thing I will never cut. I will never cut my contribution. Because in essence, that's to cut God's contribution, and I'm afraid that a lot of my brethren, that's where they go first to trim their budget. But that doesn't demonstrate love for God, and that doesn't demonstrate thanksgiving to God. You wouldn't even have any budget to have, and you wouldn't have any money to have if it wasn't for God. Why would you be He be the one you take it out of? Why would it be Him that you would take it out on? If things are tight, then you need to rearrange things. Why is the first thing we think about is our contribution? Why do we do that? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Where's your trust in God? Your purpose in heart. Now, there's something else I want to talk about here. Sometimes we get ourselves into a financial dilemma. But God didn't do that, we did that. And what we did is that we extended our means. And we lived above our ability. And then we have a difficult time meeting the bill. So then in our mind, we justify to God, well, I can't give as much because I have these other obligations. And you know what? That may be true. But you made those obligations. And can I just always give to God less because I have all these obligations? Or should I change my obligation to meet what I am getting? And so, if I've already have these obligations, you know, I've got to pay my bills. I've got to be honest to the commitments I made. And that's true. But can you do that at the expense of what God is owed? Can you do that? Can you do that? You see, every one of us plan our own budget. I don't plan your budget. You don't plan my budget. You know, we determine those things for ourselves. And a lot of times, God gets left out because we're so busy doing what we want that we forget about God. And then when we think about God, we don't have as much because we've already taken care of self. Brother, there's no purpose in that. There's no planning in that. Do you purpose in heart? Look again back at verse 7. Look at verse 7 one more time. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. What does it mean, not grudgingly? I could make another payment with that money. I could get one more month closer to getting out of debt. You know, we want to go on a vacation and I could use that money on vacation. I'm going to give it, but you know, I'd rather really use it for something else than use it for something else. It's not helping you a whit. You're giving it grudgingly. God doesn't want it. And God's not going to give it to you and credit to you as demonstrating love for Him if you do not, if you give it grudgingly. And brethren, this goes if I give because I have to give. If I give only because I have to give, then you're doing it grudgingly. But if you're doing it grudgingly, God's not reckoning it to you for good. God's not reckoning it to you for good because it's not done with a willing heart. You can't give grudgingly because God won't accept it. And then look at verse 7 one more time. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Not out of necessity. Does God need you to give? Are you going to do something for God? Is He going to be without something if you don't give? Is there something in His life that's going to be at a loss? Is there some need that He has that won't be fulfilled and won't be had if you don't give? No. We don't give out of necessity. We don't give because this is the time that we give. We don't give because this is one of the things that we do. We don't just give out of necessity. We're smart enough to know that it takes funds to put the heat in the building, to be able to support gospel preaching, to be able to do the things that have to be done in the building and maintenance and those types. We're all understanding that. Any of us that have a home understand that. You've got to maintain it. You've got to do things to take care of it. This belongs to the Lord. It has to be maintained. It has to be taken care of. It's not done miraculously. It takes money. And that's not the world's responsibility. That's our responsibility. And we give, but it should not be out of necessity. Not out of necessity. And we should give cheerfully. Are you a cheerful giver? I don't know. You know, I've helped on the table a lot. I've never seen anybody gritting their teeth and putting whatever they give in. I don't know if it's cheerful or not. Only one who knows that is you and God. But I want you to look at verse 11. While you were enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Is your giving with thanksgiving? Should we not be thankful for all the bountiful blessings in my life, both physical and spiritual? Do all physical blessings come from God? Yes. Every physical blessing you have is an expression of the love of God. Your home, your family, your possessions, everything you own. You know, here is something that the world has never comprehended. I've had more than one discussion with people in the world that say, preacher, how do I put God ahead of my wife, my husband, my children, my grandchildren? How do I put God ahead of them? That's never been a problem for me. You know why? Because I understand my wife, my children, my grandchildren are direct evidence of God's expression of love for me. If it were not for God, I would not have her, I would not have them, and I understand it's because of His love and His care for me, and why would it be difficult for me to put Him first when He's giving me so much that blessed my life? That's not hard for me. Shouldn't be for any of us, should it? You remember the question I asked before? Are you going to give too much? Never happened. Never happened. Because we are the one who are a direct benefactor of the love and the mercy and the grace of God in our lives. Turn back again to verse number 7. They glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. Giving is a form of liberally sharing our blessings with others. Should we be given the blessings that we have from God, do we hoard them or are we willing to share them with others? What is our attitude about that? Now, you know, the big question that all of you want to know and all of you want an answer to, I'm not going to cover that till tonight, so you'll have to come back. Because I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, preacher, how much do I have to give willfully, cheerfully, without grudging, not of necessity? Remember all this, these things? We lay something aside on the first day of the week according to our ability. And it must be done in this manner. And if it's not done according to these principles, then it's not something that God's going to credit to your time. But I haven't said one word about the amount. Because that's really what always, whenever I preach this lesson, or whenever I teach a lesson like this, people want to know, well, all that's good, preacher, but that doesn't tell us the big question, in how much do I need to give? Well, I'm going to tell you that tonight. But you know what? I don't have a formula. And I'm not going to tell you a dollar amount. And you know why? Because God doesn't give a dollar amount. And we're not under the old law of tithing. And I will give you a little insight about that. I hear people today talk about tithing and giving 10%. You need to go back and study your Old Testament. Because they gave a lot more than 10%. They gave 10% of everything they had. And if you add up all the things that they offered to God, you know how much they gave? They gave upwards to 33% of what they had. That was under the old law. That was the old law. We don't live under that law. And I can see a lot of us think, oh man, I'm glad we don't live under that law. Well, I'm going to show you tonight, we live under a better law. We live under a better law. And you know what? You know what? It's not about how much you put in this plate. That's not what it's about. It's about what's in here. It's about what's in your heart. It's about the motive. It's about why I give. And it's about how I want to express what God has given to me. And you know what I've always thought? That if my heart is right, the dollar amount will take care of itself. If my heart is right. But you see, that's something I can't do anything about. But there is something I want you to think about this afternoon. And I want you to think about this, and I'll answer this tonight. Does God expect, and does He demand that I give Him of all the blessings that he blesses me with. Just my weekly pay? Is that all that I'm required to give to God? Not just my weekly check? What about that? Is that all that God expects me to do out of what I make weekly? Or is anything else due to God? I'm going to answer that tonight. So see, what I want you to do and what I want you to think about is this. Is that God understands what we need to live in this life. God understands that. We that have families, God understands we have a family. God understands that we have responsibility. God understands that our family has needs. And God understands that we have children and we have other things, that there's things that God requires of us. And he understands that we are obligated to do those things. Those are part of God, what God gives us. But brethren, none of them. Now you underline this. None of the blessings that God has ever bestowed upon us in this life is to come at the expense of what is due to God. God never gave us the blessings to take that out on what we owe God. And if you think he has, then you don't understand the principle. Then you don't understand the principle. And I'll give you one more thing to think about this afternoon. This is the time of year for giving. Let me ask you a question. Does your giving change because it's Christmas time? So I got kids. I got grandkids. I'm having people over. We're going away for the holidays. Do you give God less this time of year because you have less? You'd be surprised to know the answer to that. So let me give you one other thing to think about. What about when you go on vacation? Do you make up what you contribute every week? Or do you just take a pass that time you're gone? Let me ask you, let me answer that in this way. You ever gone away when your mortgage is due? Do you just skip the mortgage for that month since you weren't there? If you did, you're not living in your house. Because you would never do that, would you? You know why? Because you know that obligation goes on even if you're here or not here. And you know what? Your obligation to God continues whether you're here or not here, and you, if you're a member of this church. You have an obligation. You join yourself to this church. You're a member. And this church has responsibilities, and you are responsible, and you have joined in to help with all the responsibilities. And because you're not here physically, doesn't mean those things stop when you're not here. Now, I go overseas. Time for 4 weeks, 6 weeks. Do I give overseas? Yes. Does my giving change at home? Not one degree. Because even though I'm not there, and I'm working out over in another country, 10,000 miles away, that doesn't relieve me of the responsibilities I have at home. And I took care of that before I left home. Because that's my responsibility. Do we understand that? Do we understand that? And let me tell you why I think sometimes we don't. Because I'm not very smart, but I got a little smarts. And if we had a week where there are 25 people gone, and our contribution is such a number, and then the next week those people are back, and the contribution is back $5 higher, now does it take an Einstein to admit that people don't understand that? No, it doesn't take an Einstein, it's common sense. But brethren, let me understand again, it's not about the amount of money, it's about our attitude about it. You see, this is what's always been the problem in the Lord's church. It's our attitude about our giving. And we need to understand that our giving is part of, you remember where I began this sermon? It's a duty, it's an act of worship, but you remember that other word I put in there? It's a privilege. Why is it a privilege? Because of what God has given us. It is a privilege. So when we give in just a few moments, I want you to think about some of the things that we talked about. But this is one thing I want you to think about most. Whatever you put in that plate, God knows what it is, the amount it is, why you have given it, and whether you're giving according to all these principles that we just discussed. And you want to know something? That's the only thing that matters, is these principles and how we give. If you're here and you're not a member of the Lord's church, you have no responsibility in this matter. We don't want your money. You know, a lot of people don't like religion because they think they want your money. We don't want your money. We want you to learn about God, and we want you to obey God, and you'll learn about what your responsibility is in that area. If you're here and you're not a member, and you'll hear somebody sometimes get up and say, if you're here, don't feel compelled or obligated to give, and that's so. Because it's not your responsibility, it is our responsibility. It is our duty, and it is our privilege. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, we want you to become one. Not because we want your money. We want you to have the benefits of being a Christian. We want you to have the blessings that are enjoyed being in Christ Jesus. And by also remitting your past sin. Because it's only by being in Christ that you can get your sins remitted. Hearing the word of God, believing it, repenting, confessing his name before man, and submitting yourself to baptism that you might arise to walk in newness of life and put you in the family of God. And you know, now once you get in the family of God, then you've got some obligations. Then you have some things that God commands of you to do. And giving will be one of them. But you know, giving is not just about money. Now that's basically what we're talking about today, but giving has a lot to do with not just money. It has to do with our talent, has to do with our ability, and also has to do with our time. Now if you're here and you're my brother and sister in Christ, and you really haven't given God his fair share. You really kind of cheated him in your time and your effort, and maybe even in your ability. Then you need to correct it. You need to pray to God, you need to ask his forgiveness, and he will forgive you. We can help you in any way. We bid you to come forward as a young man.